Okay, open up your Bibles to Matthew, or excuse me, Mark, chapter 11, 22. We should have this one underlined. So, Jesus answering, saith unto them, have faith in God. That's literally said to have the God kind of faith. And this is not something that is unattainable. The God kind of faith is that faith that calls things that aren't as though they are, speaks things into existence. Whatever God said, that's what happened. You know, he said, light be, and light still is. Have they ever caught up with light? They build a big telescope and they look way out there, and you know what they see? Something that light's already been. They build a bigger one, they look even farther out there, and guess what they see? Light. They're never going to catch up with light. It's still just going and going and going. Verse 23 says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. That is... there's been a lot of ministries built on those three verses. You know, Kenneth Hagin taught on those three verses for over 50 years. He said he never got to the bottom of them. But right there is a perfect blueprint what Jesus told us to do. One of the first things that we have to learn is that God cannot lie. So we as believers should be able to do exactly what God says we can do. Now see, you don't need anybody. They'll tell you, that's the word of God, that's the truth. You know, they'll hold up their Bible, say, that's the word of God, that's the truth. And you'll ask them, can God lie? No. But then you start asking them some of these pointy questions like this, they'll say, well, no. Well, you just said God can't lie. You know, one of the best things that I ever ran into was John chapter 14, verse 12, where Jesus said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And even greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. You know, there has been so many limitations put on believers, not by Jesus, but by church people, for whatever reason, keeping them hemmed in or whatever, or through doubt and unbelief. I don't know what causes people to do this, but right there, Jesus pointed out how we should pray. Said, we speak unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall be removed. Now, obviously, we don't need to be out here moving, sleeping, lying around. We need to leave that mountain alone. But we have mountains that are problems. You know, sickness can be a mountain in somebody's life. Depression could be a mountain. PTSD could be a mountain. Fear could be a mountain. Loneliness could be a mountain. Poverty could be a mountain. Any kind of problem somebody might have, that's your mountain. And Jesus said to talk to that mountain, not about that mountain. He didn't say anything about talking about the mountain. He said talk to that mountain. Now, unfortunately, people seem to fall in love with their mountains. They don't like it, but they fall in love with their mountain. They take ownership of their mountain. They're always running around. They say they're talking about their cancer. They're talking about their this, or they're talking about their that. They're always talking about it. Talking it up, even. And you try to talk them out of it, and they latch on to it. You know, and sometimes people latch on to their problems so they get attention. That's a bad place for them to be, and it's real frustrating, but they end up taking a lot of people's time, you know, because they don't want to get better. They're getting attention. Unless they change their vocabulary, they're not going to get better. But when we understand that God cannot lie, we as believers can do exactly what God says we can do. If you let doubt creep in with the knowledge that we've gained through the five natural senses, then there's a problem. See, we've learned a lot of stuff with our five natural senses. You know, we start learning things when we're little. You know, we just start, and we kind of accept them as the way it is. You know, you put limitations on people, and then pretty soon they just think, well, that's just the way it is. My friend was the first white guy in Houston to ever slam dunk a basketball in a high school basketball game. And he said nobody could do it. Nobody could do it. But he got to playing basketball with these black guys, and they taught him he could really do that. So then he did it, and then everybody was doing it. That there was a limitation there. You tell somebody they can't do something enough times, pretty soon they believe they can't do that. You know, there's people running around thinking that there's things they can't do just because. And you ask them why, and they can't really come up with a logical reason. But, you know, we get started when we're little, and people start putting limitations on us. They start telling us, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this. You know, you don't have enough money to do this, you can't do that, you don't have enough whatever to do that, you're from the wrong place to do that, you're not from the right family to do this. And people, actually little kids are like sponges. And they absorb all this information. And then pretty soon they get old enough where they should be able to do some of these things, and their brain is telling them they can't. They've had that spoke over them for so long. You know, I found that verse in there said, where God said, I could do all things through Christ that strengthens me, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. I put those two verses together. That changed things. And I just walked around saying that. I can do all things through Christ. I walked around saying that all the time. And then pretty soon I was doing things that everybody said I wasn't supposed to be able to do. I figured out, see, the Constitution is a really big thing, and the Bible is a huge thing, but those two together are dynamite. When you find out that God created all men to be equal, and that he said that you could do all things through Christ, that's a chain breaker if you will believe it and meditate on it. See, pretty soon you'll start thinking, you know, maybe I really can do these things that Jesus said we could do. I know that God's not lying in his word. I know that Jesus is not lying when he said that. So if I'm not doing that, then there must be a problem. Now get this straight, there's nothing wrong with you. God did a perfect work in you when you got born again. The challenge is, you see, we've been so bombarded with doubt and unbelief in our lifetimes. Some people get bombarded with it in church. And it takes a while to get that sorted off. And, you know, we can have strongholds in our minds. Those are strongholds. And we have to break those down. And the way to do that is to take God's word and say, no, this is the way it is. This is the way it is. I'm going to meditate on this. That is the truth. That's the way it is. I'm going to meditate on it. I'm going to make it a part of my life. And I'm going to meditate on it and let His word change me. You know, God's word is not going to change to suit your lifestyle. That's where a lot of these different denominations are having problems, because they're trying to get God's word to change to suit their lifestyle, to suit their doctrine. And that's not going to work. Back in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, 23, and 24. Jesus tells us to have the God kind of faith. And He mentions the word say three times and believe one time. See, we are believers. That's what we do as believers. We believe. Now then, we say we have to do this. The trouble with doubt lies in us not understanding the integrity of the Word of God. See, Jesus told us to get in that right there when He said say three times. He's talking about our mouth. And one of the things that we have to do is get control of our tongue and get it lined up with the Word of God. Start agreeing with God. See, you know, that's true Bible humility. You know, when you start agreeing and start saying what God says about you, that's true Bible humility. You've submitted yourself to God. And you're just saying what He said about you. You know, it takes a little bit. When I was in Bible school, one of the teachers in there told me to say out loud that I was the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That was the most irritating thing I ever said in my life. And I thought I was such a hypocrite. Because I didn't think that I was all that righteous. I just didn't understand that it wasn't about my efforts. It was more about what Jesus did than about me. So it took a little while to let that sink in. But when we take God's word and we meditate on it, and we start thinking about it, and talk to ourselves about it, pretty soon it's going to become that way in our lives. Go to John chapter 14. We'll go there now. John chapter 14, verse 12. Jesus, this is Jesus saying this. And read again. John chapter 14, verse 12 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Whatsoever ye shall say in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So right there, Jesus gave us the power of attorney to use his name. See, there's a legal side of all this stuff. You know, there's our spiritual side. There's a legal side. And he gave us the legal right to use his name right there. I don't know if you really, sometimes I don't think people really think about this. He gave you the power to sign checks in his name. He literally, whatever you say, in his name, he backs it. Now, you got to do it. You got to be in line with the Word of God. I've seen some freaky people go fill out checks for $1 million and have it hanging on their refrigerator. And it's like, really? Where does it say that? You know, I mean, there's some really weird stuff going on. But he literally said, the same things that he did, you can do also. See, this is what we're getting at. A lot of people are waiting for some special event in their life to get them to be qualified to go out and do stuff in the ministry field. You're already there. If you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're there. You're there. Why aren't I doing them? Have you meditated on them? Really sat down and studied them? And I hadn't been able to actually figure out why people operated in certain things and other people in different things, and then somebody else in something different. And the reason I had been given and taught was that the Holy Spirit gives these gifts severally as He will. You know, so somebody can do one or two gifts over here, and somebody else can do two or three gifts over here. Somebody can do something over here. And that kind of messed with me. You know, the lady brought me, there was a girl that needed prayer, and she needed an obvious miracle. So they brought this girl to me. I said, I'm not your guy. I don't operate in miracles. There's a guy across town that does, not me. You know, that's crazy. But that's what I've been taught. And I really full-heartedly believed it until I actually ran into John chapter 14, verse 12, where Jesus said, you can do the same things that I can do. And this gives me a way to get out of the way, because it's Him doing the doing. All I got to do is just do the praying, and He does the doing. So that takes all the pressure off of me and puts it on Him. Thank God. Those days are over. All I got to do is pray. Jesus does the doing, and then somebody has to receive. You know, I've seen a lot of people that come up for prayer, and they already had their mind made up before they even got to the prayer line that they weren't going to get anything. And so if they come up there, maybe we'll just throw a dart, might hit something, so we pray for them, you know, and they go back to where they were. And I wondered why that was. And sometimes I'd really get kind of frustrated, because I thought, man, I really tried hard. I thought I'd said all the right words, used the name of Jesus, released my faith. Just like the quarterback takes that ball, he can throw the perfect pass, but if the guy at the other end doesn't catch that ball, it's not going to do any good. Jesus here, He gave us equal power with Him. People don't like that idea. But when those verses, when He said that, when He gave you His name to use, that means He gave you equal power with Him. That bugs a lot of religious people, because they like this idea of Jesus being all God on this earth. But He was all man on this earth. He identified with us so that we could identify with Him. See, if He was deity running around down here, then we could say, you know, that was God doing that. So I'm going to just sit here in the pew and you can bless me and I won't have to go. It's not the way it was. He told us to go into all the world. He told us to be endued with power. He told us to cast out devils. He told us to speak in new tongues. He told us to lay hands on the sick. See, since He told us to do that, then He obviously has made that power available to us. Let's look at John chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. See, Jesus gives us a very important key right here. We can learn a lot from this verse. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. So we get the word in us. Then what? We say something. Remember, He told us to have God's kind of faith. That means we're going to say something. Then we stand. We stand on the integrity of God's word. You know, a lot of prayer gets missed out on. People don't really get to enjoy the fruit of what they've prayed, because they'll get into an atmosphere of faith. They'll pray, and it's almost like they just forget what they're talking about when they get on the other side of that door, when they get outside in the world. You know, your confession can't be perfect in here and scattered out there. It has to be the same. You know, your confession, say you're believing for healing, you have to run around and say, by His stripes I was healed. See, it's easy to say that in here, but when you get out there and people are always asking questions, and they'll say, how are things going? Well, my doctor said, you know, I got this and I got this and this is wrong. And then they start talking about their disease. They even start talking their disease up. They start promoting their disease. And then they wonder why things go bad for them. See, when somebody comes up and asks you how things are going, said, by His stripes, I was healed. And if they look at you like a deer lost in the headlights, just keep going, because don't waste any time and don't let them have any chance to get into your head with doubt and unbelief. Just go. If you'll know when you run into somebody that you can trust. When you say something like that, they'll say, hey, I want to agree with you on that. And pray with them. And other believers should encourage other believers. One of the most irritating things I ever saw was in churches. In Word of Faith churches. Somebody would say, oh, what are you believing for? So you tell them what you're believing for, and they'd say, where's that? And they'd say, it's coming. Yeah, but when are you going to see it? When God gets it to me. How is He going to do that? They start bombing you with stupid questions, doubt and unbelief, trying to sow doubt and unbelief into you instead of getting in there and agreeing with you that you're going to get there. I don't know what it is about people that don't want to just agree with somebody that they'll be blessed. You know, they should agree with people that they'll be blessed, prospered. You know, sometimes people get mad when somebody gets blessed with prosperity or some kind of other blessing. You know, maybe they'll get something new, something nice, and somebody will say, well, there goes my blessing. See, they don't understand God at all. See, they've got God down on their plane. They got this idea that if God blesses somebody with something, then it took something out of him, so they'll miss out. That's not the way God operates. See, we do. If I have $100 and I give Pete $20, I have $80 left. But that's not how God does it. That He'll meet our needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. See, it's not going to take anything out of Him. If he gives Butch $100, it's like that $100 wasn't even there. It's just gone. It's already got plenty more for somebody else. So don't get mad at somebody else's blessing. If you do anything, you should shout hallelujah, praise God. Maybe I'm next. Celebrate with them. We'll go one more scripture. Go to Numbers chapter 23:19. Yeah. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? See, this may well be one of the most important and comprehensive promises in the Bible. God is not a man. He cannot lie. He will not lie. He cannot repent like men. He's not going to change his mind. What he says, that is what he will do. He'll make it good. We need to get our heart on that. God is 100% good on his word. He's not gonna change his mind on his word. If he says you can have it, you can have it. Therein the challenge lies with us. You know, sometimes we gotta battle some doubt. Sometimes we've got to battle some unbelief. Sometimes it's just a matter of just taking His word. You know, we may believe it, may have no doubt in it, but we just haven't taken any time to meditate on it and really get it in our hearts and make it so, and then say it. You know, the same way we got born again, it's going to be the same thing for everything else. We had to believe it in our heart. God raised Jesus back to life and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. So faith had to hit our heart from somewhere. Well, the Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It didn't say faith comes by having heard. It says faith comes by hearing. So we have to hear it and hear it. And hear it over and over and over and over and over again. And keep hearing it. And keep saying it. That's one of the important things why he said to meditate on his word. That means go walk around talking his word out loud. There's no more convincing voice for your subconscious than your own. Your subconscious is going to believe what you say. And you're training your subconscious. And sometimes people get to thinking, well, that's just crazy. No, I'm telling you, when the fire is at the door, your subconscious is going to kick into overdrive. And you're going to react according to what you've taught your subconscious to do. Whether you like it or not. And your subconscious doesn't know right from wrong. It doesn't know the truth from a lie. It doesn't know anything else. It only knows what you have taught it. It only knows what it has been taught. See, this is why it's so very important to watch our words around children. This is why it's so very important to watch what we say to ourselves. This is why the radio got shut off completely in my pickup. I'm not going to listen to that because I'm going to start singing it. I'll get busy and I'll start singing it and it'll be nonsense. So I just completely just shut it off. I don't have time to play mental basketball with myself like that. But see, this is the thing. Our subconscious is going to do what it's been trained to do. A lot of people, you know, they'll see their little kids grow up, and their little kids grow up and they're crazy, and they wonder why. Because they told them they was crazy. They told them they were stupid. They told them they was going to be this or that. They told them there was going to be failures. Then they wonder why they're failures. They taught them. They brainwashed them into thinking that. So then they did it. See how powerful our words are? Just think how much more powerful God's words are. Especially when we believe those words and turn His words into our words. That's why He told us to meditate on His word. That cowboy, he had it right. He said, a man by himself is in poor company. Because he's going to be talking to himself. And if he's not talking to himself, the Word of God, he's in trouble. Amen. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus for your Word. We praise you. We thank you for your Word. Father, we thank you that you back your Word with your integrity. And that your Word is backed by the very throne of heaven. And Jesus backs your Word. We know that your word will always agree with Jesus, Holy Spirit. That one won't say something the other won't agree with. They'll all agree. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.